Hello, everyone, and welcome to At Any Rate podcast. This is a bit of a Scandi focus on this episode. So I'm with my colleagues, Morten and Kagendra. Morten covers the Scandi economics, and Kagendra covers the rates space in Scandiland, and myself, James Nelligan, on the FX side for Scandis. So let's get into it. We're talking about central bank meetings over the next week and the broader outlook for the economy and the markets. So starting with your views on the upcoming central bank meetings, Morten, what do you think Norges Bank and Riksbank will deliver here, and what are your risks around the outcomes there?
Yeah, thanks, James. So I think, you know, starting with Norges Bank tomorrow, we do expect them to be on hold. So the interesting part will is what they're going to say on forward guidance. Our main scenario is that they are not really going to make a change, so that they're still pointing to autumn when there's going to be a rate cut. But we do think there is a decent risk of them making a hawkish change. And, you know, that might seem a bit odd with the inflation now surprising once again to the downside. But we just think that with the NOK being weaker yet again, rates abroad have moved higher, and also a fairly high outcome of the wage negotiations, then there is a risk of them changing the guidance, even though that is not typically what they do at these interim meetings. We have also tried to run some calculations on this technical rate path that they produce at the quarterly meetings, and that does suggest, with, should we say, these new elasticities that they have used at the recent forecast meetings, you know, that does actually point to no rate cut in 2024, and even I'd say some risk of a rate hike in the third quarter. So that's why that we do think there is a risk of them changing their forward guidance. But on margin, we don't think there will be a change there. Then on the Riksbank, it's a quite different story. Because we do think them to cut next week, so that will be the first in JP Morgan's DM universe if they do so. They did say back in March that it was a 50-50 chance of them going in either May or June. We did also have markets pricing that 50% probability a few weeks ago, but after that we did have the inflation report surprising quite a lot to the downside, and it was a fairly broad-based downward surprise. And on top of that, you know, other domestic indicators have been quite dovish. So GDP falling further in the first quarter, we've had a jump in the unemployment rate, and price indicators in the near survey have also been quite dovish. So we do feel comfortable with them going at the next meeting in next week. But the risk is obviously, I'd say, a bit similar to what we've seen in Norway, that the krona has weakened so much. But we do think that this is more likely to be expressed via forward guidance. So we think that while they're going to cut next week, they're going to, at the same time, close the door to another cut in June. So that actually also means that we have changed our call for the Riksbank this year, going from 5 to 4 cuts. It does feel a bit awkward with kind of the domestic picture actually looking quite weak, and perhaps justifying them going even more than what we had before. But we just think with the external risk having increased so much that it makes sense for them to kind of favor gradualism. But I think perhaps just turning it over to you here, Kagendra. So just hearing your views on Scandi rates markets and whether, you know, have also, you know, recent developments internationally influenced your view on duration, and are there any cross-market trades that stand out given our expectations for Norges Bank and the Riksbank?
Thanks, Morten. So my medium-term views on Sweden and Norway on rates market have probably been unchanged over the last several weeks, which is towards lower yield over the medium term. Now, of course, this has been challenged in the recent past, but I like to point out that for most part, this is a reaction, especially in Sweden, to developments in the US, where solid macro and sticky inflation has resulted in market removing a significant amount of easing that was previously priced in. This has taken its toll on Scandi markets. And I would think that Swedish duration appears more mispriced in this regard, given our views on the evolution of macro and the central bank easing cycle. You alluded to this model earlier that the domestic data, looking purely at domestic data, it probably warrants more easing than what the valuation is calling for, even though the international development supports you to change your call from 5 to 4 this year, but keeping the endpoint still same around 2% by the end of next year. Now, I do point out that while both Swedish and Norwegian rates have risen along with dollar yields, the beta of their moves has been declining over time, and this is a dynamic we will expect to continue going forward. In Sweden, we still think that the rate priced for end of 2025, which is now currently around like 285, 290, versus our expectation of 2%, so it is still pricing too high. I have a strong conviction that this might be at least will be at least around the neutral level of rates by the end of next year, and therefore the stabilized duration by receiving the rates stagger. In Sweden, we also like 10-year swap spread narrowers, as this has been dragged wider, first due to geopolitics, and second due to market removing significant amount of easing that was initially priced in globally. Now, this is a dynamic that is reminiscent of the widening in spreads that we have seen during the hiking cycle, where markets would anticipate more hikes via the swap curve and have pushed spreads to significantly wide levels. This time around, we're at the cusp of an easing cycle, and hopefully we get easing starting next week. And therefore, we see limited pressure on this front and feel the recent pop widening spreads and swap spreads. You also mentioned about or asked about cross-market opportunities. We have been recommending quite a few of those. The main underlying theme of this cross-market trades has been that it has been of a steepening curve dynamic, which is typical of an easing cycle. I admit that this easing cycle is potentially different than the past in terms of motivation of easing and also the expected pace of delivery from various central banks. But I think that the broad contours of a steeper curve should hold, which means the curve should go steeper as we go through the easing cycle. Now, however, outright steepers right now suffer from large negative carry, and the curve exhibits a strong correlation to developments in the US. Therefore, we prefer all curve exposure on a cross-market basis. For instance, in Sweden, we are recommending rates use stable curve steepener boxed against Euribor curves. This leaves exposure to an anticipated, at least at or a faster pace of delivery, easing by the Riksbank while limiting the downside of the curve rate. Also, this expression of cross market minimizes carry exposure, which is now close to flat on a cross market basis. Similarly, in Norway, we are recommending a REDS 5x5 curve steepener boxed against the SOFR curve, which is also likely to benefit from a potentially supportive purchase bank versus Fed if recent data inflation at any point is, while offering modest positive carry data. So overall, long duration exposure via outright in Sweden and via proxies on a cross-market basis. If I move to currency, James, what do you think about NOKI and STOKI here in the context of upcoming central bank meetings and the broader macro environment?
Thanks, Vigendra. Yeah, so Scandi FX here, very much driven by the external environment, external factors in terms of what's going on with US yields and the dollar. Earlier in the year, and particularly in Q4, you had seen some help for Stocky as some of the global manufacturing data started to bottom out. And obviously, Sweden's got a quite high beta to that. But with US yields having been on the rise over the last few weeks, that the rate spread is really dominating any kind of theme around reflation at the global level. And that's pushed Stocky weaker. So particularly after the US inflation print last month, we started to acknowledge in our writing that Stocky is likely to struggle given the outlook for policy divergence between the Fed and the Riksbank. But given where we are now in Eurostoccy, you know, as Mawson's laid out, the Riksbank probably cut next week, but take a June cut off the table, which could be seen a bit as a bit of a hawkish cut by the FX market. But if we zoom out here, Mawson's forecasts are still for more easing from Riksbank compared to Norges Bank than the market currently prices in. So you could see some support for the Nokki Stocky cross on the back of that over time. But really, in terms of the Scandis individually, it's going to be very much driven by the US environment. And even though the last week or so of data has seen, you know, US data come off the boil a little bit, US is still in a pretty strong position. For Nokki, the similarities are that the central bank, Norges Bank, are also concerned about the currency, as we've discussed. And as Mawson said, they'll probably avoid a dovish pivot in their guidance. But the difference, of course, is you have the commodities angle for Nokki. And our commodity strategists are pretty bulled up on the space. So they published a really nice note last week covering the entire asset class, laying out their top picks across the space and talking about six structural drivers for commodity upside over the coming year, including things like AI demand, stockpiling. I really think it's a really nice note. So even though we were bearish on Nokki for the first few months of the year, as you did have equity outflows on the balance of payments really frustrating investors, there is we do see scope here, along with our commodity strategists, for the commodity moves to become a bit more demand-led rather than supply-led, with global growth broadening out across regions, across economies. And in that world, Nokki probably finds it a bit easier to participate in the move. So again, coming back to the Nokki stock across, it's probably not a bad compromise because, you know, we've obviously got to be quite careful if US yields push higher still, that's going to be making things tough for Nokki. But with the cross, you have a bit of protection there because Stocky's beta to US yields is actually higher than Nokki's beta to US yields at the moment. So you have a bit of protection built in there. And we see fair value on Nokki Stocky around 101 based on commodity prices and rate spreads. You know, that's probably more where our bias is at the moment rather than the individual crosses. That brings us to a conclusion. Thanks, Mawson. Thanks, Kigendra, for your views. Very interesting insights. And look forward to our next podcast. This communication is provided for information purposes only. Please refer to JP Morgan research reports related to its contents for more information, including important disclosures. 2024 JP Morgan Chase Company, all rights reserved. And this episode was recorded on May 2nd, 2024.